Welcome to Activate Yourself with Gita Sidhu-Rab, where we feature otherwise normal people who, because of events in their life, have turned left and done unusual, inspiring, incredible things, like build a business, become a happiness expert, marry a prince, create an empire, or like your host, set up a health and wellness business, Nosh Detox. Here's your host, Gita Sidhu-Rab.
Hi, my name is Gita Sidhu-Rab, and this is Activate Yourself. So as always, the goal behind this short but hopefully insightful conversation that we have regularly is to get you into a place where I want to help you to think and feel differently. The biggest freedom that you're ever going to have is in your own heart and mind. The biggest opportunity you're ever going to have is inside your own heart and mind. And so if what I can do is bring you opportunities and people and things to think about how to make you feel that you can be bigger, happier, and more powerful within yourself, to have more agency over yourself, then I have done a good job in the next half an hour or so. So today's guest was trying to have a conversation with me in the green room, and I cut him off and I'm like, no, say this on air. Because today's guest decided to really outperform his turn left in life and have an almost fatal car accident. And car accidents are really interesting things. They do different things to different people. One of my closest friends had one, and she came back as a completely different person. It was really interesting. She's someone I have known really closely, really clearly for years and years and years. And it was interesting to me that the person that came back after the car accident had to get to know her again, had to understand her again and like her again. I like her a great deal more, to be fair, than I did before. But let's talk about what happens to you when you have to decide all over again who you're going to be because of something that happened to you. So let's welcome Alan Lazarus.
Awesome intro. Thank you so much. I always want to start with gratitude. Thank you for having me. I started listening to podcasts 9 years ago, and they really helped me reorient my life. 9 years ago was that car accident that you mentioned. So thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
It's such a pleasure, honestly. What I'm interested in is I actually don't want to start with your accident. I want to start with where we started, where I stopped you speaking, because I often don't have men on the show, and I will have men that I'm speaking to in the few minutes when we get to know each other, the pre-show stuff, and I'll be like, you know what, you're just actually not a good option for our guests, and it would be a waste of your time, and you're not right for my audience, and thank you so much. And I have almost never said that in 700 years of doing this. I've never said that to a woman. I think I've said it to one woman, but I have said it to a few men, and with you, I didn't say that because you said the magic words that the majority of your clients are women and the majority of your audience is women. I want to know why.
So the why in that is still being uncovered, but I do think that there's something to this. So my co-host and I, Kevin, we both grew up without fathers. So my father passed away when I was 2 years old in a car accident. His father left, and he was raised by his mom and his Mima. So his mom and his grandmother. I was raised by my older sister, my mom, and I had a stepfather from 3 to 14. And then my stepfather left at 14, but he and I never got along. So I think that probably has something to do with it. The other piece too, is I think humility, courage, and vulnerability. I think Kevin and this was not the case before my car accident, at least not to the same extent, but women, I believe, are far more humble. I think they're far more intrinsic. I think they self-reflect much more. I think they're much more self-aware, statistically speaking. I'm not trying to do the whole gender thing, but statistically speaking, what I've found is those to be true, statistically again. And you always have to dance around it. It's like men and women are identical. So we were a couple bodybuilder bros who were in our mid-20s who started a podcast. He was my first guest. I was his first guest. Then we combined. It was a whole thing. And we just had deep conversations that were kind of post-existential quarter life crises. He had suicidal ideation in his mid-20s. I had a car accident at 26. And it was sort of the phoenix burned down, re-rise from the ashes, so to speak, metaphorically, of the ego death, which is what I think you were referring to about your friend in the car accident. It's an ego death. When you face mortality, you realize how misaligned you've been living. And then you go intrinsic instead of extrinsic. And I think men tend to be more extrinsically motivated, and therefore they struggle to look at self. And the best example that I have is growing up, I was not encouraged to have a diary. My sister had a diary. And so the self-reflection for me, having a journal is new since 26 years old. So now I'm 9 years into the internal self-improvement, personal growth, personal development journey. Whereas prior to that, it was mostly professional development, academics, achievement, that kind of thing.
So when you're, which is standard, right? Because men tend to be so much more aligned with performative actions, like what, who am I and what am I becoming and doing? Whereas women are more, who am I being? And so there's a slight differences between the two. But how, so when you're now speaking to women, how do you think women know this about you? Why would they be attracted to you?
I think intuitively they can tell. So, and again, I don't know because I'm not a woman, but we have a team. We have a 21-person team, and most of them are amazing women that were listeners, and then they became team members. And they've given us a lot of feedback. What I've seen is the humility, and then intuitively they can tell that we are maybe less ego-driven or more of a safe space. And the other piece that I've gotten a lot, and this is interesting, is a safe energy. A high vibration, a high vibe. And I had never used that term. I'm an engineer. So computer engineering for me, it's numbers. Everything's numbers, statistics, bell curves, and leverage curves. I think in equations. And so whatever they're sensing is probably very intuitive, and it's more of a safe energy and an empowered energy and a humble energy, I think. I think that they, this I've gotten to is not non-predatory energy. So I'm a less predatory. And now here's the thing. When I'm with men and they do this with me, it's hard for me to keep the dominant high ground. And I've come to realize that even though I'm leagues ahead of them in most stuff, most men are constantly trying to gain the high ground. Awesome. And so that's been a little bit weird for me, especially as I've gotten older because I look 15. But it's very hard to be the most competent, most well-developed person in the room and to still be seen as a child. And then to have someone energetically try to dominate you because they're actually insecure and they realize that you're much smarter and much more competent and you believe in yourself a lot more. And so ultimately, I think it's an energy thing. I think women tend to think in energy a lot more than men. Statistically, again, I think there's four modalities of thinking. I think there's math and numbers. That one's mine. There's energy, there's words and concepts, and then there's pictures and images. And the words and concepts and pictures and images, I think, are the main modalities of thinking. I think energy tends to be higher for women. And I think that the numbers is mine. And I think that's the rarest one. But ultimately, I think it's a vibe. I think it's an energy.
Well, and then if you're being, put down by men around you, then you're going to definitely know how women feel, aren't you? Because that's a standard.
Great point. Well, I spent my whole childhood being put down by overly dominant, deeply insecure men.
Yeah, no, I can see my son was brought up by a woman and a single mother, and it was a very interesting. They hit a place in his upbringing where he was getting very badly bullied because he didn't show up with these masculine dominant traits. So I was like, okay, and I hired him a trainer instead. So nice. As his physical body built out, that is one of the easy kind of respect things that men see and work with, you know, and that changed his life. But there was a really horrendous bit in the middle where he got the shit kicked out of him on a regular basis, which, you know, you can call it character building or awful, but it is what it is.
Yeah, I resonate deeply with that. You think I look young now. I'm about to be 36. I mean, what was my childhood like in terms of prepubescent? And also, for those of you out there with a high ACE score, adverse childhood experiences, your self-worth is probably lower than it could be or should be. I call them the heroes, basically the people who have tons of self-belief but low self-worth. Yeah. So I believe in my ability to achieve at level 10. I mean, let's go. But I don't believe in who I am at level 10 and like my own value. And that's all from just conditioning in your childhood. And
yeah, that's also very female though. Like I coach senior, highly successful women. And it's very interesting that they'll maybe build companies that turn over 50, 60 million and still find it very hard to go on a date and tell what the man what they want.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a self-worth thing. Mm. And so self-belief and self-worth, I think, are the cornerstone of anyone. That's what we really want, right? We think we want a car or a home or a great relationship. What we really want is self-worth and self-belief. And I think self-belief is more important. I think self-worth is second. Self-belief is I can achieve it. I can build the castle. Self-worth is I deserve to live there and I'm going to honor and protect the castle.
Yeah.
And I think that's more of an energy. I think self-worth is the energy you show up in the being. Like I was in a low energy when we got in here because I was vulnerable.
Yeah.
I just got off a really tough episode where I was really outside my comfort zone in terms of sharing with my audience how I think it's emotionally immature to be upset when someone can't come to your birthday and how people have bigger things than you in their life. And I think it's a very egocentric way to live of like anyone who has like a birthday week, you know? And again, I'm not trying to be mean. I just think that's ridiculous. But maybe that's my low self-worth. No, I don't think it is. I think it's ridiculous. I do. I think if you have a birthday week or a birthday month, I think you probably are a little bit immature. And I'm scared to say that because I've been so villainized and bullied in the past. But the truth is that's my truth. That is what I actually think. And I think that's a lot of what self-worth is too, which is just social courage, just having the courage to actually say what you really believe and then allow other people's insecurities to sort of dance around that.
It's very true. I think that there was this amazing study they did where they had convicts looking at people walking down the street and they asked them who they would mug. And the convicts again and again and again picked the same people because,
really?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I find that stuff utterly fascinating because when I'm
Whoa.
Women, some men I coach, but I'm traditionally coach women, and I'm watching them at work in their 50s, 60s, and some of them are the most famous women in the world. And I watch them in their work environment. They're like this. And I watch them walk out of their work environment, and literally the way they function, their body, everything changes in how they are. Yeah. And so I think that where we a lot of that is also alignment. Where are we most aligned and feel most strong and powerful, and least aligned and feel least strong? And powerful. And, you know, people can see, call it vibe, call it energy, call it whatever, but people can not only see that, they will mug your ass.
I know. Oh. Yeah. They'll take advantage of people that don't have the confidence in who they are to actually fight back. And I think that's so unfortunate because we want to be nice people. We want to be virtuous. We want to be good. We want to be kind. We want to be compassionate and we don't want to bully anyone else. So we end up, what happens when the victim never plays the victim? It's interesting because let's say you do have a high ACE score like me and you had a really tough childhood. I never played the victim. That's actually one of the reasons I got to where I am, is I just never played the victim. I never, oh, poor me. Oh, woe is me. Oh, it was always, okay, let me find a way to get better. Okay, let me find a way to get better. It was aim higher, work harder, get smarter every time. Aim higher, work harder, get smarter. And I guarantee you some of those women, that's their trauma response too. Aim higher, work harder, get smarter. And then eventually you're older, you are successful and more well-developed, but yet you're still in that underdog energy.
And also there are different areas of our lives where we let that out. And there are parts where we feel confident and parts where we don't, right? Right. Those show up. Let's quickly go for a break. And then I want to, when we come back, I actually want to talk about your car accident and the evolution out of reimagining who you were going to be to this version of you today. So we're going to go on a quick break.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. You had a car accident, 26, and it was near fatal. So what happened after that?
So as I mentioned in previous to the break, father passed away in a car accident when he was 28. I was 2 at the time. And so when I was 26, I got in a car accident that was physically, I was okay, but this was not a fender bender. Luckily, I was driving a Volkswagen that was extremely safe and it saved my life for sure. I used to call this car the tank. It was a very German engineered steel trap of a car. But ultimately what happened after that is I went intrinsic. Prior to 26, and this is only obvious in hindsight, I was very professionally developed. I was very achievement oriented. I was very improvement oriented. I believed in myself a lot. I was definitely a super achiever with lots of adversity who was going to prove his worth through achievement. Straight A's through high school, got into my dream college, financial aid scholarships, computer engineer, master's in business, blah, 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 blah. At 26, I realized that I was playing an unwinnable game. I was very successful. I had paid off 84 grand worth of college debt in a single year. I had $150,000 in an investment account for Vanguard with different tech companies that I figured would win. And I got in that car accident. I was making almost $200,000 a year at a company called Cognex. It's industrial automation, computer engineer. Anyways, so I was achievement-oriented, unfulfilled though. Super unfulfilled, but I didn't really know it. And the thing is when you're unfulfilled, you know it, but you don't, everything's relative. So you don't know what it's like to be fulfilled. I was never a super fulfilled human being, particularly in my tough upbringing. And so after 26, I kind of realized that no matter how much success I achieve on that path, I'm not going to be fulfilled. And then I flipped the script and I actually went past broke, liquidated all my assets, started my own company, and ended up unsuccessful, but deeply fulfilled. Happy, healthy, productive, fitness model, fitness coach, fitness competitor, 42 photo shoots, actually really higher vibe, higher vibration. I was very much well-developed, genuinely, physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually. But I was broke. And it was, wait a minute, I had all the external achievements and I was unfulfilled. Now I have so much fulfillment, but I don't know how to sustain it because my business is not winning. Yep. And then here I am 9 years later, and now I'm both successful and fulfilled. And I think that's where we all want to get. And I think success comes from consistently doing the hard things in the direction of your dreams. It's a science. There's a lot you can do to break it down. Metrics, habits, improvement, all that stuff. Identity. I think that fulfillment is tethering to what your actual calling is. So for me, reaching my potential and helping others do the same, the vehicle I do that is coaching, podcasting, training, and then business coaching in particular. So it's taken me 9 years to figure all that out, technically 35 years since I'm 35, but I'm in my calling. I think fulfillment is a byproduct of being in alignment with one's calling. And I think your calling is your greatest potential and your greatest level of contribution and your highest quality of life. And ultimately, I think that's what all of us really want. It's just very difficult because that's not often what's aligned with what is profitable in the economy. Now, it is sometimes, but usually in the short term, there's a huge profitable L that you have to take in order to eventually be fulfilled and successful. And that's a hell of a leap for people who struggle with self-belief.
So when you're in a place where there's a phase where you're financially killing it, then there's a phase where you're emotionally killing it. And then you're like, let's put this together because it would be helpful to do both. What made you, did you look at it and think, but I deserve more? Or did you look at it and think, I want more, or I should have more, or this version of me is not good enough? What was the first thought that led you on that journey?
Well, I think it's been from even when I was a kid, I think it's always been unconsciously. Before 26, it was unconscious. If I was improvement-oriented, it was unconscious. And then it became very conscious mm-hmm. after 26. But I think it's always been, I never questioned whether or not I could get out. I could achieve what I wanted. So my two paths in life were going to be, and this is wild in hindsight because I realize how weird this is, but I remember thinking, I was 14 years old, I remember thinking, I'm going to do lawyer, politician, president, or I'm going to do engineer, MBA, CEO, like Steve Jobs. And I decided to do the engineer MBA thing. But ultimately, I never questioned whether or not I'd eventually get there. But along the journey, I realized my self-worth was too low to actually get respect and to be, to achieve those things. And so it's sort of like the hero's journey of you go off and you achieve all this stuff and you become better, you become smarter, you become more capable, you become more confident, you become better in every regard, but then you're still a social coward. I was a social coward. There's a reason I'm vulnerable after that last episode. I am scared to be my true self because I'm so weird. I'm this esoteric, weird computer engineer. When you're in high school and a girl says, do I look fat in this? And you say yes at level 6 out of 10, that doesn't go well. So you basically hide your true self because my brain actually says, yeah, kinda. But it's very scary to share that, particularly when you grow up in an environment with a bunch of people avoiding hard truth. Because the hard truth is most people are not competent enough to actually achieve what they really want. Most people are not smart enough yet to achieve what they really want. Sometimes it's a self-worth issue, but sometimes it's a competence issue. You just aren't a strong podcaster, not you, but the metaphorical you. And you have to have both the skill development over here in the real world and stay tethered to the real world, but you also have to have the vibe and the self-worth. And so that didn't start to shift for me until I got a therapist in my 30s.
Right, so, that's what I'm trying to say, the tipping point, because I know you said the top five regrets of the dying was the first sort of main tipping point that you point to.
Yeah, that book by Bronnie Ware. So I actually interviewed her 4 years later, which was really cool. But I have these flashcards that I always carry with me with the top five regrets. They're all tattered and nasty now at this point. But in my 30s, I got a therapist. Her name's Carol. And I started working on the inner stuff.
Yeah.
And I started to realize that no matter how smart I get, no matter how hardworking I am, that's not the problem.
No.
For some people, that is the problem. Let's be honest. Okay. If you can't work for 2 hours a day, you are not going to win. And that's just the facts.
People can't work for 2 hours a day.
What'd you say?
People can't work for 2 hours a day.
Yes. Many, many, many people cannot focus for 2 hours a day. Yeah. The whole 4 hour work week thing and all that stuff. Yeah. I mean, there's maybe not the people you associate with, but there's a lot of people who struggle with working hard and staying disciplined and consistent and tracking habits and metrics.
No, that's fine. But I never thought that was as low a bar as 2 hours.
Yeah, there's a lot of people, yeah, who are scrolling all day and that kind of thing. And again, maybe not the people you work with, most likely not. The people you work with probably already have the competence and the work ethic and the drive and that kind of stuff. What they need is the inner self-worth piece. And because I think that a lot of people actually, very few people are accurate in their self-awareness, including myself. I'm off too. I just don't know if I'm over or under. But I realized when I was working on myself a ton, I started to realize that I'm actually better than I thought. Even though most people think I'm arrogant. And I realized why that is too. Because if I have level 10 self-belief and only level 8 humility, I'm going to look level 2 arrogant. Plus, I'm very intense and driven. But anyway, so the point that I'm making though is most people are either inflated self-worth or accurate self-worth or under self-worth.
Yeah.
And it's based on a context, right? How do you know the difference between a shack and a mansion? It's based on the comps, which is other homes that were purchased around them. So people say comparison is the thief of all joy and all that stuff. I think that's inaccurate. I think you have to compare. You just have to compare apples to apples and do it accurately. So your podcast is however many episodes in. Mine's 1800. You shouldn't compare to me. That's not fair. But you need to compare to other new podcasts. Otherwise, you won't know where you land in the competitive landscape. And then you might think you're better than you are, which will then stop you from getting actually better. And so I think long-term, thinking you're worse than you are is probably what's best for skill development. But unfortunately, it's not what's best for social interaction, because most people, going back to the mugging thing that you mentioned, they can sense a lack of confidence in self. So there's two types of confidence, two types of courage. I'll go quick with it. The first type of confidence is competence confidence. Your ability to go do the thing, apply to the job. But I have a lot of that. What I didn't have was social competence. I was a coward. I didn't say what I really think or believe because I was so afraid to be bullied.
Yeah.
So the courage piece, there's courage, there's competence courage, which is your apply to the job, do the thing. That's no problem. The social courage is say what I really think and sit in the discomfort of it. The social courage is you have a person with you and they say, well, you know, Alan, nowadays the only way to make money is real estate. And my brain goes, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. What about tech? And I don't say it because I'm a coward. But then that person leaves the interaction thinking they're smarter than you.
Does it matter?
Unfortunately, yes, in business, because they're never going to hire someone who never checks them.
But also, that's not business. That's employment.
Well, I'm a business coach. So if I leave every room looking like the less intelligent one because I'm such a coward to actually call anything out,
I
don't have the credibility or the respect that's necessary, particularly with men. I think women can see through most of this.
Okay, so let's delve a little more into that when we come back from the break. We're just going to go on a quick break now.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good. Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So we're back. What was the what is the TED talk by Tony Robbins that you listened to that you said was instrumental in shifting how you thought?
That got me focused on self-improvement. The whole TED Talk is based on why we do what we do, what motivates us. So am I motivated by my calling and my purpose and my mission, or am I motivated by proving my stepdad that I'm valuable? And again, metaphorically. Why am I doing what I'm doing? Why am I drinking too much and too often? Why am I surrounding myself with people that are not what's best for me? Why do I have high school friends and college friends and corporate friends that kind of treat me like crap and I still keep hanging around them? Why do I let people disrespect me and never call them out? Why? Okay. That's how I've learned most of the frameworks that we teach at NLU, which has helped me tremendously. And my coaching, I have 28 people, almost, I think 29 actually as of today, on my roster right now. I've coached hundreds of people over the last 7 years, really more than that, probably 9 years. But really at this point, everything I'm teaching them is things that I had to learn kind of the hard way in some ways, or I had to curate and figure out for myself.
Yep. I inevitably think that makes you a better coach though, to be fair.
Same. And I think this whole idea of taking a shortcut, right? Because I'm a business coach, so I can help you amplify and accelerate the rate at which you improve and grow, but I don't want to skip steps for you. I don't think anyone should be trying to skip steps. I think you should be trying to grow through things instead of go around them and go below them and go over them, because the expediency factor is always taking the easy road, and the easy road never develops the muscle, metaphorically, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. But ultimately, the Tony Robbins TED Talk was just my eye-opening moment of this is what I'm meant to do in the world, which is figure out how I work and why I work that way, how human beings work and why they work that way, and then how the world works and why it works that way. Because usually it's one of those three that someone is very blind in.
So when you help other people design fulfilling lives, how do you help them do that?
Well, there's the achievement thing, and then there's the fulfillment underneath it. So I have this simple achievement framework. It's a triangle, and in the center is your goal. So whatever goal, 10 pounds in 10 weeks, say that's your goal. You need to have metrics, habits, and identity. So the metric would be track your weight every day. The habit would be exercise 30 minutes a day and track your calories. And then the identity would be I am an athlete. The problem is the identity piece. Usually someone is not embodying the identity in advance of that which they want to be. So my business partner, Kevin, he didn't consider himself a podcaster until 150 episodes in. And the problem is if you don't identify, what'd you say?
Was it a magic number for him?
No, I think it was just, he did it enough times to wear it. And I think a lot of people's identity is external. It's based on external validation. So he must have gotten enough external validation to say, okay, I am a podcaster now, which is unfortunate because what if you never get that, right? And so I asked him one time, I said, Kev, do you consider yourself an achiever? He said, no, I don't know if I really identify with that. And I said, here's the thing. You come to me and you say you want to achieve all these things, but you don't identify as an achiever. See, I identify as an achiever. Therefore, I'm more likely to do things achievers do, and therefore more likely to achieve more. And so the fulfillment piece is next. I think fulfillment comes as a byproduct of success only if that success is in alignment with what you're supposed to serve the world in.
Yep.
It needs to be in alignment with some sort of a calling, some sort of service. So right now I'm here for two reasons. Number one, to serve. I used to say I want self-improvement to spread like COVID. I don't say that anymore. I say COVID spread 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. It spread exponentially. Now I really want that same thing to happen with self-improvement. That's an nicer way to say it. I'm here to spread self-improvement. Health, wealth, life, and love, holistic self-improvement. That's number one. Number two, I'm here to practice my craft. You ask me a question, I learn how to orchestrate my answer in a way that's more powerful. That's my calling. This is fulfilling for me. This would not be fulfilling for some people. How do you do 1,800 episodes? It has to be deeply fulfilling. It has to be meaningful work. So the problem is the most meaningful work we do in the world usually is not profitable, at least not at first. And number two, it's underneath something we hate. I have a framework called want, love, hate. I want to be in shape. I love weight training. I hate dieting. I hate dieting. I hate it. I've exercised every day for 2.5 years. I haven't missed half hour a day, every day for 2.5 years. I'm not kidding. Me and my girlfriend, we track it. I don't say that cocky. I say that because I still hate dieting. I'm not in that great a shape, in my opinion, compared to my fitness modeling days, because I don't like to diet.
Yeah.
My point is there's something we hate underneath everything we want. And if you can spend 20% of your day focused on the thing you hate, I want more clients. I love business coaching. I can't stand, this is going to probably sound mean, I don't like being on social media. Okay. I can't stand it. I want more clients. I love business coaching, but I don't like being on social media. I hate it. What, guess who doesn't get to be a business coach without the third one? And most of us are not getting what we want in life because of something that we're scared of under the hate category. And for me, I hate feeling like a bully when I call someone out on their nonsense. But that's what's necessary for me to succeed in life, because otherwise no one will respect me. And again, that's a fine line, because you don't want to become the bully that you were so hurt by either. So you can overswing that a lot, but hopefully that's helpful.
True. But I think it's also that if you can talk with compassion about the things that matter to you, because they matter to you, you can say, I really care about you and I'm happy you have so many birthdays. I'll be able to come to this particular one because that's the one that I can fit in, and I won't be able to come to any of the others, and leave it. Then it also encourages a muscle in you that makes who you are and what you want important, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's a practice. But yes, if you don't know that that's what you struggle with, you might actually come off more mean and harsh, when in reality, you're actually just vulnerable and scared that you're going to be villainized. So
yeah, and you overcompensate to balance that out. That is fantastic. Tell me how people can find you.
You can Google my name. If you Alan, last name Lazarus, Lazaros. We have a website called nextleveluniverse.com, spelled just like it sounds. Everything's on there. We've got monthly meetups every month. We've got a book club every week. We've got an app on there. We've got a journal. Everything's on there. The podcast is on there. And then the podcast is Next Level University, spelled just like it sounds. The website is Next Level Universe. The podcast is Next Level University. Self-improvement in your pocket from anywhere on the planet every single day, completely free, holistic self-improvement, health, wealth, life, and love. And it really is built on this idea that if you want to get 1% better per day, it is possible. Technically, 1% is a little excessive, but at the end of the day, you can get a little bit better each day. And over time, that's the key. Over time, if you're consistent, it really can transform your entire life. And that's what I started at after that car accident.
Amazing. Thank you for coming on as a guest.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for your sincere interest in number one, helping other people, and number two, learning. I appreciate it.
No, it's absolutely my pleasure. So please look up. I, in fact, pulled up Next Level Universe here while we were talking, which is really interesting. Look up Next Level Universe, look up Alan Lazarus. And I'm hoping that with, you know, it's always interesting when you speak to men instead of speaking to women, what we are so different as the sexes. The things that women will tell you they need and want that they're willing to change for are actually quite different to what men will say they need and want that they're willing to change for. But underneath it all, ultimately, it is based on self-love, self-respect, self-worth, and those things really, really matter to us. So I hope that this episode has been interesting, and it's inspired you by sparking something internally that makes you feel a sense of optionality, that you think there's an opportunity for you to grow into a different level of freedom for yourself. And my name is Geeta Sidhu-Rob, and I'll be with you again soon.
Thank you so much for joining us. Our goal was to give you pause, make you think about your life, and inspire you to say, wow, what if I tried to do that? If they can do it, so can I. Did it work? Let us know by finding us on social media at Geeta Sidhu Rob or at Nosh Detox. We upload new shows every 2 weeks here. And if you start to miss us, check us out on YouTube.